Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Told me who I am. I am your.
Okay.
Good evening, girlfriends.
Good evening.
Hi, this is Debbie, and we are doing The Gift in You, Discover New Life through Gifts Hidden in Your Mind by Dr. Caroline Lee. So we are doing Chapter 5, The Science of Your Gifts. So, Tammy, would you like to open in prayer?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we're able to gather in a place that's safe and worship you and learn about how to be our better selves. And we welcome everybody via radio and in different countries and states, men and women alike, and we appreciate you all. Amen.
Okay, Chapter 5, The Science of Your Gift. Your brain is made of nerve cells. Each cell looks like a tree with a central cell body and branches. Every thought makes up one of these nerve cells with memories and other information growing off of it, the branches of the tree. For every thought tree you have on the left side of your brain, you have a duplicate mirror image on the right side. So the left side of your brain, you draw on details to form a big picture, while on the right side, you draw from the big picture to find the details. So this is processed in two different ways. These two mirror images of the same thought tree have to communicate with each other. God has designed you and your brain for intellectual depth. The more branches you grow on these nerve cells and the more they communicate with each other, the more intelligent you become. So women are actually better multitaskers than men. And the reason is because we have a bridge of nerve tissue that goes from one side to the other that men don't have.
Oh.
So even as a 26-week-old fetus, we can see with brain imagery that females seem to have language on both sides of the brain. It can be seen that when men listen, only the left half of their hemisphere of their brain is activated, while with women, both sides are activated. That must have something to do with selective hearing that men have. I think that really explains a lot. So boys fall prey to learning disabilities more often than girls do, but boys tend to excel in math and geometry. Men have bigger brains, but this doesn't mean they're better. Women are better with language, and they tend to build relationships, pause more to allow the other to speak, and so they are more communicating. And in fact, as women get older, they tend to have more friends. And as men get older, they tend to have less friends, because as their friends die off, they don't get new ones. But women do. They're a lot more relational than men are. So getting back to the neuron trees, when you operate in your gifting, these branches are able to form more easily because your brain is working the way it was wired to support your gift. Einstein only learned to speak at 3 years of age, yet he was one of the greatest scientific minds in history. Einstein encouraged others to also to pursue their unique gifts during his lifetime. The doctor who performed Einstein's autopsy, Dr. Thomas Harvey of Princeton Hospital, stole his brain. I hate when that happens. Can you imagine? He sectioned Einstein's brain and preserved it, believing it would reveal the secrets of genius. He sent slivers of this brain to doctors and scientists around the world who he believed would help in his endeavor. But eventually, he donated the brain back to science to be examined and studied. Einstein's brain now resides at Princeton Hospital. Dr. Marion Diamond at UCLA found that Einstein's brain had a higher ratio of glial cells. I had to look up how to say that. To neural cells. These cells support and provide nutrition and housekeeping for the neurons in the brain. Boy, I would like to hire that housekeeping service. She specifically noted that there were a larger amount of glial cells in the left parietal cortex, which processes sensory information, spatial orientation, logic, mathematical ability, spatial reasoning, and three-dimensional visualization. Scientists don't know enough about the brain to ascertain if this is 100% accurate, what they found out about Einstein's brain. However,
One idea was that the brain was compensating because Einstein was slightly learning disabled. However, with the understanding of the science of gifting, it's easy to see that these areas of the brain were so developed not because Einstein had a learning disability, but because those were the areas of his gifting, areas which he had developed greatly in his work and discoveries. These areas of the brain he had developed with purpose. Einstein used his brain and his unique and remarkable way of thinking extensively. He thought hard and deep according to his gift. Einstein's own words described his thought processes, which are fascinating. Words do not play any role, he said. There are more or less clear images. So rather than sitting in a classroom taking notes, this probably means he initiated his deepest thinking using his logical and visual spatial skills. This makes sense considering he discovered the theory of relativity by imagining riding on a light beam through space, seeing the ideas he was formulating in pictures, and then capturing these images in mathematical equation and words. The point is that genius is in all of us when we use our gifts. As we use our gifts, physical change happens in the brain because of its neuroplasticity, which will be physically evidenced on a structural and chemical level in the brain. We don't have to find the genius factor in Einstein's brain and then try to assimilate this into our own brains. We would make lousy Einsteins, but we are great as ourselves. So find your own gift. Everyone's created to do something no one else can, and understanding the structure of our gifts allows us to discover and achieve this purpose. So Tammy, what do you have today?
Well, I am on part two, Uncovering the Gift in You, so chapter six, an overview of your gift. So for those of you who are new to the class and on the radio, I know it sounds like a lot of scientific mumbo-jumbo that we're talking about, but we are actually working in a book with Dr. Carolyn Leaf. She is a scientist, probably the only Christian scientist I've ever heard of, and so she is showing us how to access our gifts scientifically and physically so that we can be the best we that we can be. So understanding the structure of your gift will help you learn how to maximize it, how you can work to achieve lasting results in any environment, and how you can better relate to others who have their own unique gifts. And she goes on and tells a story in this where she was in a meeting with some high-end or
marketing.
So president, vice president, you know, the upper management. And there were clear differences between gentleman A and gentleman B, not just in stature, but in personality. And she was trying to get them to see the differences between their gifts and how their communications were different when the larger gentleman jumped on the table ready to strangle the younger gentleman. Now, I mean the smaller one. And I'm sitting here thinking, I read it like three times going, was he literally on the table? Yes, he was literally on the table. Oh, wow! Like, management? Seriously? Wow. So anyway, she went on to say that what she was able to point out to them that the larger gentleman, he is a visualer. He visualizes things. He's more... more right-brained, I guess is the way to say it. Now, we have some photos up here, by the way. On the left-hand side, Lisa drew up a diagram of the seven pillars. And on the right, I found that online, and it just kind of shows what left brain does, what right brain controls. It's kind of interesting, so if you want to pay attention to that. But anyways, he's more in the visual, where the smaller gentleman likes to talk, and his talking drove the other guy crazy. Because he just wanted him to lay it out in a visual, in a story. Give me a story and that I can see and follow it. So they were able to mend their differences because once they understood how the other person communicated, they were able to understand the communication, which is really interesting. Sometimes one of our greatest challenges can be interacting with people who think differently than you do. The structure of your gift. As we reviewed in part one, Proverbs 9:1 talks about the wisdom being built on seven pillars. Here's the exciting part. Just as the sequence of processing a thought is exactly the same for each of us, the area the brain stimulates to handle each one of these seven steps is different. So in other words, Grandma, So in other words, if I tell Ashley, I need you to go to the kitchen and I need you to grab the pitcher of water and please bring it back in and make sure you pour everybody a glass of water. She actually receives that information into different parts of her brain than, say, Debbie might, because that's how her gift works. And so how you receive information is indicative of how you give information. Just like love languages, a lot of times you give people the love language that you want in return. Same kind of principle. So the brain is stimulated in different steps, and each one of these seven pillars is different in each of us. Even though it's the same category, it's operated differently. We have been taught that each section of the brain is responsible for specific functions, as I put in that diagram. But the truth is, the brain is sophisticated beyond measure. There are revolutionary discoveries about the brain being made as modern technology advances, allowing us to take more comprehensive look at the brain than ever before. As we have gained more knowledge through imaging technology of the inside of the brain, areas of function in the brain are becoming more clearly defined. From this science, we have been able to determine that the brain has seven main areas, which is like columns or pillars. Sound familiar? A house of wisdom, according to scripture, is built in seven pillars. And according to science, the structure of your gift is also built on seven pillars. So what exactly are these pillars of thinking in the brain? The brain is made up of about 100 billion nerve cells, which look a lot like trees, as Debbie was talking. The author here calls them thought trees. And your brain, pretty much incredible when you consider your brain is only about the size of your two fists. These thought trees group together, forming seven pillars that run roughly from the top to the bottom of the brain across the left and the right side of the brain. And each one is responsible for a specific type of behavioral function. We all knew this. But what we didn't know, possibly, is although there are seven basic types of thought proposed, we must realize that there are an infinite number of descriptions of each type of thought and that all seven types work together. So whereas we might be called, well, you're a right brain or you're a left brain, in all actuality, we're all left and right brain because not one piece of our brain works individually. Everything works together. Just one's more prominent or dominant. So you can describe yourself as a visual or logical and so on. You are a mixture of all seven types of thought, making up your special way of perceiving the world. The combination of how these pillars of thinking of the brain work together and process information is what makes you you. Because all humans have more or less the same areas that perform the similar functions, your differences, how these interactions change you and change as you use them, are what make you special. All your thoughts, memories, and emotions that make up you are stored in a non-conscious part of your mind and have tremendous influence on your conscious thoughts. In fact, our conscious mind is completely controlled by our non-conscious mind. Has anybody ever heard that before? I have too. It's really good. If we have a conscious thought activated in non-conscious and it's brought into the conscious, then your conscious thinking becomes toxic. Scientists have found that the non-conscious mind performs around 4 billion actions per second.
Oh boy. Wow.
400 billion. That's even worse. 400 billion actions per second, and the conscious mind is only aware of 2,000 bits of information. Interesting, right? So that goes to tell you, determined earlier in the chapters, that your heart, that they have found, science has found, that your heart actually has a brain. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that goes to show you why, scripturally and in any other way, people are telling you that if your subconscious is thinking something, it's what you seeps into your heart. And so if you think about it that way, you can easily see how when you're subconsciously filled with hate or disdain or lust or whatever, how it can easily take over your entire control, because I believe it goes
through the brain of your heart before it goes to your conscious. So there is an enormous amount of exceptionally high-speed things going on in our minds as we think through our gifts processing information. I'm going to go over relatively quickly the different gifts. All right, so the neurons in the front of the brain, the frontal cortex, that is located at the interpersonal pillar, and I'm going to actually go over here because we're used to have this. So the frontal cortex controls the interpersonal pillar. This deals with decision-making, planning, deep analyzing, shifting between thoughts, realizing goals, and developing strategies. When we are introspective, we are using this type of thought. I don't think I have that one. Just behind the interpersonal pillar is the interpersonal. Okay, first one is intra, like inter. No, not inter. Second one is interpersonal, which is involved in social interaction, communication, taking into needs of others. So basically, your actions. The third pillar is linguistic pillar, which deals with spoken and written language. I don't think I'm as well in that one either, as you can tell. After the linguistic pillar is the logical and mathematical pillar. And I definitely know that God left this one out of my brain. Yeah. I don't have much logic, and I definitely don't do math. I told you guys the story of helping my fifth grade daughter do math one time. She was doing it, and she disagreed with how I told her it was supposed to be done. So I said, you do that half, and I'll do this half. And the teacher called me in for parent-teacher conference because she was having that grade. And I pointed out to him, I told her that this is the way you do it, but she insisted that's why that side's wrong, and he says, never help her again. She got all her right, and I don't know what plan of mine was. But apparently, he was like, don't. So I knew early on that I didn't have mathematical skills. So, logical and mathematical pillar, which deals with reasoning, logic, scientific thinking, numbers, and problem solving. Next to this is the kinesthetic. That provides sensory and body awareness. Now, I'm assuming that means touch, taste, smell, that great stuff. And then following that is the musical pillar, which, of course, is music-based, but also includes the ability to read between the lines and distinguish gut instincts. And then the final pillar is the visual spatial pillar. Lisa so lovingly got these things out of their final cheat sheet. I didn't even look at spatial. Spatial pillar at the back of the brain, which is where we imagine and form mental maps. I think I have a big back brain. I'm very visual.
That's where your dominance goes.
Yes, my dominance is in the back. So if I fall over backwards, it's because I have a big back brain.
I have the bookends.
You have the bookends.
First in the left.
First
in the left.
Yeah, I'm not so dealing with decision. Well, I'm okay decision. Deep analyzing, I usually go with the gut instinct and turn around and figure out what I did wrong. Yeah. Your unique thinking pattern requires that you think by moving through the seven different pillars of the brain's thought in a particular order with a signature amount of bandwidth given to each function. So basically, thinking of it this way, when I tell Ashley to go get her the water for the class, whereas for Debbie, the first thing that information is going to hit is the intrapersonal lobe, the frontal lobe, because she's a planner and organizer. Let's say Ashley is more like her mother, and she's going to go right back here and visualize what, because otherwise she's not going to remember it. I have to visualize what I'm doing, or I don't remember it.
I do too.
Yeah. So it's not that it doesn't go through all of this, it's just where it's hitting first and where the majority of the information is going to lie. So although you all use this, but it makes a difference on how you absorb information. Why this stuff is important is because we are going to get to a point in this session that we're going to take a test and find out what our gift is. And understanding how our brain works is going to go a long way in helping you utilize your gift, not only in your personal and business life, but more importantly in your spiritual life. And use that gift in a manner that you can truly bloom. So
Yeah, I know that the scientific stuff's a little deep, but it's going to be fun, I promise you. And so I put that up there. Last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to hand it over to Sandra D. The mind is what the brain does. And we see the uniqueness of each mind thought. See? I told you that wasn't the word one. Okay, I'll start that over. The mind is what the brain does. And we see the uniqueness of each mind through our gifts. This in itself is delightful and intriguing because as you work out your gift and find out who you are, you will be developing your soul and spirit. After all, the Bible says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as you are, just as your soul prospers." 3 John 1:2.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe, and we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.